All right, Super Kev, welcome to the first post-game show of the season here on the Highbury squad. How you doing?
I'm good. Listen, I've had a good day so far, and there were times where I was a little bit worried with the Arsenal. I've got to be honest with you. But they got across the line, so I'm not going to be too hard on them.
Okay, so let's start at the very beginning. Firstly, where did you watch the game tonight?
I was in my local, O'Shea's, in Manchester.
All right, nice crowd over there.
Yeah, good crowd. I got in there just for the end of the Man U game, so second half of the Man U game, and so, Palace done a number on them, didn't they?
And then
watched it in there. Quite a few gooners were in there tonight, so it was good.
Very cool. Because, you know, one of the things I was starting to panic about a little bit, KC, was, you know, Manchester United get a bad result. You've got Chelsea playing Liverpool tomorrow. Anything can happen there. You've got Tottenham playing Southampton. Southampton always seem to bounce back really well. Tottenham having to overcome a Europa League game. So winning today was so important. But I want to start at the very beginning. Tierney getting the injury in a warm-up. Before we get into the team selection, for me as a fan, I think when a player gets injured in a warm-up, it's a bit alarming. You know, he's not really doing anything too strenuous. He's definitely had these injuries before. The hip is something that he's struggled with. Is that a concern for you when you're doing a warm-up, or is that something that can happen a lot to any player at any time?
Yeah, it's something that could happen. It could have happened yesterday, you know, during the warm-up for training. Unfortunately, these things happen. And you know, what tends to happen is as well, Sophie, when you're preparing for a game, mm-hmm. there's a bit of stress on the body because there's the pressure. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what happens in training for a 10-yard run, there's a little bit more pressure in the warm-up on game day because mm-hmm. you're thinking of the game and, you know, the game is right ahead of you. He's probably thinking of his keys, what he has to do in the game, etc. So that adds a bit of more pressure onto the body. But, you know, usually there are no injuries. We don't usually suffer this at Arsenal before the game. But unfortunately, it's happened today. So then you have to plug somebody else in and the dynamic isn't the same.
Okay, so we plug in Kolasinac, and at that time, I thought, you know, Maitland-Niles has done everything to earn his spot in this team with his performances since Project Restart, and I think has shown his versatility. And it felt like we lost a little bit of that versatility today on the flanks without Tierney, without Niles. Were you disappointed to see Kolasinac be chosen over Maitland-Niles? Let's start off with that one first.
I thought Ainsley had proven himself, really, you know, in the FA Cup run and the first game of the season. I thought he'd done marvellous, mm-hmm. and that's why, you know, we're not looking to sell him. But again, I'm not the manager. The manager might want to say, right, I want to get Kolasinac some minutes. Mm-hmm. So he's got a game under his belt, kind of thing. Maitland-Niles, I know he can play there. It's against a West Ham team who ain't that strong, mm-hmm. so to speak. And, you know, we should dominate the ball. But, you know, in football, it never quite works out that way. And like we know, it's a London derby. West Ham are going to come there and make life difficult. And they did make life difficult. And that's when you need your better players. And Kolasinac, he's an all right player, but he's not one of the better players. And he couldn't really get it going on the left.
And to be fair to the team, starting off with two London derbies, not an easy task. And to come off with two wins, you play great in one game, you play really poorly in the other, but take the win, as you said. And we'll get to that point. Let's move to the back three there. David Luiz on the bench, he comes on with just a few minutes to go. You disappointed that he didn't start alongside Gabriel so we could see that in this game, or were you happy with him coming back from an injury that Holding had started alongside Gabriel again, especially after their solid performance against Fulham?
No, I was happy. I was happy. I weren't bothered with it at all. David Luiz, obviously, he's been out a while. So he could sit on the bench and then get his minutes near the end. He did come on, which was fine. But I think there's a lot more legs in David Luiz playing with Gabriel and probably Holding or Saliba whenever he's ready. So you know, just incorporate him slowly but surely.
Okay, so we move to the area on the field. You know, Bellerin, I thought, had a poor game. I didn't think he was great. I didn't think he tracked back very well today at all. Positionally, I felt like he was a little bit lost, which is why that versatility of Niles on either flank, KC, I think would have been a better support, especially for those front three players. Even, let me move to the midfield, because to me, it felt like...
Can we leave that to the end?
Okay, let's leave that to the end. I will leave that to the end. I thought it was, I wouldn't have taken Willian off. He's the type of player that can change a game on a whim. And in a game where it's so tight and West Ham packed that line, didn't they? That five man block.
Yeah.
It was brutal trying to get through them and get past them. Willian, Aubameyang, Lacazette, so dynamic last week. This week, not so much. But perhaps because of what was caused in the midfield. Were you disappointed Willian came off and Pepe came on? Pepe, for me, you and Amanda know how I feel about Pepe. He's got a lot to prove, did nothing really when he came on.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what, Soph? You're right. Pepe came on and didn't really offer much. He had one run, I think, and he done okay on one or two occasions. But, you know, there wasn't that. We needed a spark today. That's what we needed. We needed a spark, and we didn't quite get it until Eddie Nketiah came on.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saka, the youngster, comes up with a through ball to Ceballos, who's on the shoulder of a defender. So it was a bit unorthodox how we got through, but the fact of the matter is we got through. Aubameyang didn't really have any opportunities either, so we weren't creating much today.
You know, I do think, and thanks for everyone who's joining us in chat now. Of course, you can always watch this show on replay as well on our YouTube channel and other platforms. So, Casey, for me, that first goal, the goal for West Ham, seemed to be one of those typical goals that we conceded a lot last season. It felt like the flank play was completely lost, but then the central defenders, it felt like they weren't up. They couldn't keep up with Antonio. And then positionally, it felt like we were off. And one of the other things that I found a little bit alarming today, and again, we're not going to go too far down the deep end. We got the win, but Leno seemed a little shaky today. He didn't have that dominant performance that we're expecting from him. And after losing Emmy, felt like there was some miscommunication at the back today. And that, to me, was, other than the midfield, which we'll get to, was one of the most glaring issues.
Well, let's deal with that bit first. The goalkeeper first. We let Emmy go.
Mm-hmm.
And we've discussed it on the pod. I felt a lot more comfortable with Emmy in the net because he just seems to do things calmly.
Mm-hmm.
Once Lennon makes a little mistake, I think it plays on him. And then he starts, all different things start going wrong. He's coming for crosses that he shouldn't come for. He's getting crosses and he's colliding with defenders and the ball's popping out. And, you know, he's kicking goals awry. Look, this isn't a criticism because they're number one.
Right.
But I just think, you know, he needs to work on that mentality a lot more to improve. And then we go to West Ham's goal.
Yes.
West Ham's goal was a breakaway.
It was a good goal, to be fair to them.
We were on the attack, mm-hmm. so they won the ball and they broke at us. So now the defenders are backing up into the box. I've got to tell you, if you watch that goal, Mikel Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one place he could score that goal. It's Rob Holding. He needs to get around earlier. He doesn't recognize the danger.
No, he arrived way late. Positionally, he was so off on that,
you know,
breakaway.
As the attacker plays the ball across to Antonio, mm-hmm. Rob Holding should have been already there, sliding. Because if he chipped it, he couldn't have scored at the back post. because it was too close.
Right.
So a ball in, a low ball in, was the only ball he had. So Holding needed to get his body across and affect the striker, but he didn't do that. And that's maybe what's going to cost him in this team moving forward.
Yeah, you know, the other thing, just to circle back in terms of that communication between the defense and the goalkeeper in the second half, in particular, that dropped when Leno came out, and I thought it was such an irresponsible move from him because the way he landed, quite honestly, Casey, I thought his shoulder was going to go
pop out,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it felt like there were a lot of those moments in this match. Now, I also think that unlike the Fulham game, and let's all be fair, Fulham were really poor. They fought back really well against Leeds United today. Mm-hmm. But it felt like, unlike that game, the back line had no protection from the midfield. So I'm just going to let you have the platform to just talk through that, because I said to you and Amanda in our WhatsApp group, I felt Ceballos was trying, and I thought he was trying too hard, too much mayonnaise, too much mustard, just make the simple passes. And I think as much as he tried, he failed to make those simple passes. And Xhaka seems a little bit lost when he's playing with Ceballos sometimes. They've had some good moments together in matches and they've had some bad. Tell me what you thought of that. And did you think that today it was the weakest link?
Yeah, our midfield, again, because of the opposition, we've got to look at the opposition and how the opposition set up. The opposition set up to not concede any ground. Mm-hmm. So they were just going to have a block and you break us down. So Xhaka trying to probe, not happening because there's nowhere to probe. Ceballos trying to probe, there's nowhere to probe. So what Ceballos does, he takes it upon himself to overdo it. He goes left, he goes right, he goes left, he goes right. He's trying, he's on the ball a lot. He's trying to pass it, which is fine. But our problem is, Sophie, we don't have any dynamism in that midfield. We don't have any electric, we don't have speed, we don't have power.
Creativity.
Well, with speed, you can create. You know why? Because you can pick the ball up and you can beat somebody. Now that opens a spot, because a centre half now is in problems. He's got a runner coming with the ball and a Lacazette and Aubameyang moving off him. So he's got to make a decision. If he makes the wrong decision and they slip him in, that's creation. Or with a bit more craft in their brains to be able to do things quicker. It was so laboured, especially first half and a lot of the second half was so laboured. The one moment we really got in the second half where Saka picked the ball up, cut inside and flicked a ball to Ceballos, we get a goal.
Yeah, I found like we tried to do a little bit too much and it felt like Oba had to keep coming for the ball today. Yeah. Felt like Lacazette had to, and Lacazette does that a lot more, of course, because the way he holds up the ball and stuff, but it felt like what we lacked, which is what we saw in the games against Liverpool, especially losing Tierney, and I was kind of going back and forth with Mike from You Are My Arsenal on Twitter about this, is we didn't have that over-the-top ball. Kolasinac couldn't play that ball today. Bellerin couldn't play that ball today. And Niles and Tierney especially, we've seen Tierney, do that 2, 3, 4, 5 times in a game. And it felt like we completely didn't have that arsenal, if you like, to help Aubameyang, you know, split the defence a little bit. We lacked that. And I think that's become part of our power play, hasn't it? That Tierney ball over the top, Aubameyang uses his pace. There was none of that today.
No, it's all about connections, Sophie. Players having an understanding with each other. Mm-hmm. When Aubameyang realizes Tierney's on the ball and Tierney has the time, then he goes. So it's that split second he realizes and Tierney's quick to play it. Obviously, he doesn't have that with Kolasinac. Kolasinac hasn't got the quality to play that ball.
Right.
We've seen them try to play balls, but he goes into the defender or, you know, he gets overhit. But to be able to play a quality ball into a striker, into space that he can get onto, it's not easy.
No,
there's only a few who can do it.
Yeah. Amanda isn't on this evening. She is celebrating Jewish New Year with her family. But, you know, that's the public story. The real story is we're trying to make this loan deal happen, right, Super Kev?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Big time loan. No, it's okay. it's gone down to 93 pence.
Maybe Mike from the Gooners podcast. Hi, Mike, and hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Maybe Mike can speed that up for us a little bit. Let's go back to this question because I think it's a really good question. I think it was Michael that wanted to ask you. There seems to be, I don't know what it is with Pepe. I know you, I always say to you and Amanda, I just don't see it. Right now, it's an 80 million bag of average, in my opinion. It doesn't affect games. I think the last time, you know, what was the game you played? Was it the FA Cup where he had that beautiful curler, the left-footed curler?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't see it. How do you see this? Because we need to have option A and B with these creative players, and especially with, you know, the speed on the flanks. Is Pepe, do you still believe that this kid is going to come good?
Yeah. I don't think Pepe had a bad season last season. I don't. When you look at his goals and his assists, he didn't have a bad season. It took him a bit of time to adjust to the Premier League. Mm-hmm. But you look at how he finished the restart in the FA Cup. He had that assist to Aubameyang in the FA Cup final. I thought he terrorised Chelsea in the FA Cup final, especially when they moved him from the right into the centre. Mm-hmm. He was causing all sorts of problems. But the problem is, you see, Sophie, Pepe, from 1 minute he's trying to settle in.
Yes.
Under one manager. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then he's getting asked to do something totally different, kind of, with another manager.
Right.
So, again, there's a bedding in process. And you know what? Sometimes it may take 18 months. And you know what? Sometimes he may never fully get it. We don't know. But he's only so young. He's young. And we have to give him a little leeway. He's not played. He's not started a game this season. We're only on our second game. So, you know, maybe you won't see it yet. But the key is, he is a weapon we can use moving forward. And he will come good because he's got the ability. He's definitely got the ability.
Okay, so wisdom here with a little bit of wisdom. And your old pal, your old teammate, right here on NBC commentating with Arlo White on the game today, Mr. Lee Dixon.
Yes.
When things were looking a little bit drab and we had dried up with ideas, there wasn't really too much fluidity or creativity going, he rhetorically asked, I wonder where Ozil is right now. And I think we all agree that, you know, the team is a happier team without Ozil, but we definitely lack that creative flair that could come to bite us in the arse, Casey, as the season goes on. Talk me through that as a player, especially as a forward player, where, you know, you get your dinner from these kinds of players. And Aouar, of course, is one that supposedly, you know, has a deal been done? Has he agreed personal terms? Are they not agreeing on the fee? He wants to go. It's not happened yet, and it won't. We don't believe it until we see it with when he's signing the paper and wearing the shirt, as Amanda would say. How do we get? Talk me through that, because let's say we don't sign him. What happens?
If we don't sign him, then we have to go with what we've got. We've got to go with the likes of Aubameyang, using what he's got from the left-hand side. Mm-hmm. We've got to utilise Willian. We've seen Willian create three chances in the first game. I thought Willian was quite busy, but we didn't have the quality to give him the ball in the key areas because West Ham had the block of five across in the midfield. Mm-hmm. Then, if obviously we don't sign him, we're depending on Ceballos to create. We're depending on Saka, if he's in the side, to create. Because they're probably our two most creative players, apart from Mesut Ozil. I don't even want to get onto the Mesut Ozil, because if Mesut Ozil was in that team, West Ham would be delighted.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. I completely agree with you.
Yeah, there, so they understand what he offers you going one way, but he doesn't offer you anything going the opposite way. So they would have loved that because they could run off him all day long and they would be free. And it was bad enough as it is the way it was today. So,
so one of our biggest improvements since Arteta has come to Arsenal has been one of the things you and I have talked about a lot last season is how we play off the ball when we don't have the ball. What did you see tonight, Casey? Because again, I'm not sure we're ever going to be able to use Fulham as the barometer for standards this season. I just don't think that's wise to do.
It was a good first game. It was a good first game, but every game's different. So every game's different. So we, you know, we use it for the win, but you know, we're not going to go crazy about it.
So how do you think we played without the ball today? I thought our I was afraid every single time West Ham countered. I just didn't feel like mentally, you know, we were in the game as much. And I don't know if it was the excitement or the over-celebration of Aubameyang. I always get worried when we over-celebrate a signing, even though it was Aubameyang. And of course, we're super happy that he signed. But I felt like there was this lack of energy. There was this lack of engagement. And it just didn't feel like we were completely dialed in. And every time they had the opportunity to break, it was really worrying because for me, the Bellerin side especially, there were a lot of gaping holes at times in the match. Talk me through that a little bit and how you saw that in particular.
Yeah, look, I think personally, when there's euphoria, because Aubameyang signing was euphoria. You won the first game, there's euphoria about Aubameyang signing. There was a lot of complacency, I think. There was a lot of people thinking, you know, we're just going to turn up. And West Ham, they've got a difficult, you know, run of games. They're a poor side, etc. All the excuses that we're just going to turn up and we're going to win the game 3-4, 5-6-0. Football doesn't work like that. So what tends to happen is the team might be high, but you come up against a stubborn opponent. When you come up against a stubborn opponent who is not going to let you play your football and do what you want to do, then you have to adjust. We didn't have Tierney. I saw off the ball Aubameyang make run after run after run, but we didn't have the quality to find him. I think we found him a couple of times in the corner, but not that ball that, you know, where he's running in on goal and he's clear. We couldn't deliver that ball tonight. So, obviously, the personnel, you look at the personnel and Tierney not being there, that didn't help Aubameyang. I mean, there was some neat interplay from time to time. First off, we looked a yard off it, if I'm honest. We were passing the ball to 5 yards and it was going out of play. We were passing it to West Ham players. Everything that West Ham could have wanted, they were getting in the first half. We had one really good move in the first half and Lacazette scored. Really, West Ham equalised and they deserve to equalise.
Did you think that was offside?
Which one?
The Lacazette goal. Did you think that was playing him on, or did you think it was?
When I looked at the VAR, normally if there's a infringement, you see a yellow line, and there wasn't a yellow line; it was just a blue line. So obviously, it must have been bang level. So. You know, so it was clear. I was happy because I thought, wow, we've got away with that one.
So, when you kind of look at everything in hindsight, 2020, would you have played Elneny with Xhaka, or obviously Arteta's looking at the creative side of things, and Elneny doesn't provide that, of course, the way Ceballos does. When you look ahead to Liverpool, we're going to talk about that next week, but don't you think, especially in the Liverpool game, someone like Elneny becomes really valuable?
Yeah, and listen, yeah, you're right. You are right. For today's game, I would have picked that midfield because we'd need a little bit more creativity because, you know, West Ham ain't going to take you a man for man. They're going to come with a pattern. They're going to come with a block. And that's the typical David Moyes. He's going to make life difficult for you and try and catch you on the break. And they were good at it today. We've got to admit that they were good at it. They caused us some problems. But Liverpool's a different kettle of fish. You need workers in that midfield. You need guys you need glue guys. You need guys who are going to listen to Arteta. Arteta wants you to do this and go and do it. No freelancing.
So I
do
think
what he wants.
Right. So I think this is really important. And I watched Take the Ball, Pass the Ball last night. I don't know if you've seen it on Netflix. Absolutely brilliant. It's based on Graham Hunter's book, the greatest Barcelona side ever. And, you know, obviously that whole Barcelona team and the drubbing they gave Man United in the Champions League, and Pep's philosophy is, you know, take the ball, pass the ball, quick, quick, quick. And I think Colorado Gunnar here sums it up brilliantly. And against Liverpool, I think that's going to have to be something that we look at. And we said it at the beginning, at the top of the show, it seemed like everything was slow today. And to me, like, again, Ceballos was adding too much mayo and mustard. He wasn't passing it quickly. Oba's runs, the timing, Lacazette down the middle. It just seemed that we lacked what we had when Elneny played. And Elneny's a player that we've all absolutely crucified and put in that group of we've got to get rid of them. But now we look back. Are we too reactionary, Casey, in this instant gratification world? Do you think that Arteta today got it wrong?
No, I don't think Arteta got it wrong today. I think Arteta picked a team he thought that could win the game. Obviously, Tierney, he picked Tierney, but Tierney got injured. So that changes the dynamic a little bit. But, you know, sometimes, Sophie, we've got to give credit to West Ham. West Ham, we thought we just need to turn up. West Ham came with a game plan and made life difficult for us. Teams are going to fear Arsenal now. So teams aren't just going to turn up and you know, let us walk all over them. They're going to make life difficult. But what it did show up, Sophie, it showed up our lack of productivity from the centre of the pitch. So whether you want to call it running power, vision, creativity, you can call it what you like. It's all in the same mix. We need, if we had Partey and Oa today, we would have beat these four. Because they are players who can, when they win a challenge, they can travel with the ball. And once you can travel with the ball, as opposed to passing it sideways, slowly, because that allows them to get back into position. And then they're comfortable again. We've got to break the lines. And we didn't break the lines enough today.
So one of the questions, of course, is our youth and our youngsters, players like Saka coming in. He looked a little bit rusty, hadn't played too much. We know that he had a great season last season. We know he's the future. I don't want to be too hard on him. I don't want to be too hard on anyone today. And I don't want to be too reactionary. It's just two glaring performances from one week to another, which was our biggest issue last season. And obviously towards the end of Emery's reign. Arteta's going to try and bring this consistency, but you bring up a great point because sometimes, you know, obviously you can only play who's in front of you, right? And West Ham were very organized and they did give us a scare in certain places. Nketiah coming on and making a difference, like you said, he added this energy as well and got the goal. A really kind of confidence booster for him. How do you see him like Lacazette, Aubameyang? How do you see that forward line being mixed up as we go into these next few games? And do you see Arteta picking the same front three against Liverpool?
I'm not sure what Arteta's going to do with the front three. Coming to think of it, I think he will pick the same front three.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not sure about the midfield, what it will choose.
Right.
I think he will pick the front three because Willian's work rate, Aubameyang's work rate, and what Lacazette brings to the team. Remember, Lacazette now has got 2 goals in 2 games. You know, just wanted to change it and freshen it up a little bit to because he wanted to take a chance bringing Nketiah on. Again, our youngsters. Saka comes in off the line, or he was playing left back at the time maybe, comes off the line and flicks a ball to Ceballos, who's on the shoulder of a defender. Now, that is off the cuff. That stuff is off the cuff. That's creativity. Once you get that, and there's Eddie with the energy to be there for the tap-in, we win the game. Against the better teams,
mm-hmm.
that's going to be a little bit more difficult because you don't have as much possession. But what you do against the better teams, they leave gaps because they're on the attack. So, you know, you've got it's a balancing act. against the likes of West Ham to Liverpool. Liverpool will come at you and they'll go for your jugular. That's what that's the way they play. But we seem to know how to play against them. Where we might struggle is when the teams bank up 4-5-1, you know, and they've got a bit of pace with Antonio and all these guys who can hurt you. It's very difficult to play against sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that, okay, I'm going to be harsh here.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
I thought Arteta looked a bit too happy at the end of that game. I thought he was clenching his fists, and obviously we're happy we won. That's the most important thing. And sometimes winning ugly is a beautiful thing. But I just thought he looked a bit too ecstatic about it.
Well,
am I being hard?
No, you're not being hard. But I think you've mistaken happy for relieved.
Oh.
I think he was relieved, Sophie. Like he was relieved.
When you have to pee really badly, you know.
And yes, he was relieved because, you know, after that start, you know, the fan base is high. Everybody's looking forward to this game. And if we're honest, this game was poor. It was a poor game.
It wasn't a good game, was it?
Yeah, it was really a poor game.
Yeah.
And and these are the games where if you can get across the line, you get a win and you move on, you know, you forget this game. You know, you forget it. You chalk it up as a win and you move on, because I think it was more relief, Sophie.
Well, I actually think that he should make them watch this game, like, you know, put them in a dark room and make them really watch this, because I think this is the type of game, yeah, where you get away with it, but you also don't want this to become like the norm, you know. And I know he's telling them about his expectations, and I know that he's very intense, and this is going to be a very long season, four competitions. But I think the other reminder, Casey, is that without those two additional signings, without bringing in two additional players, we could find ourselves, I'm not being melodramatic, I think it's just the reality of where we're at, we will struggle to finish in or challenge for that top four place. Do you agree or disagree with that?
No, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly, I agree. The midfield isn't right. The balance of it still isn't right. We haven't got a midfield that can challenge man for man the likes of Liverpool, City, Chelsea, Man United, even Everton now. Look at Everton's midfield.
I bet you'd rather talk about Everton tonight than Arsenal.
Well, no, but you know, Sophie, look, you got to give credit where credit's due. Everton, for a few years now, have been suffering with their midfield.
Mm-hmm.
They've had a clapped-out Cortina engine in the car, and now they've changed that clapped-out Cortina engine for a Rolls-Royce.
And now... Hammers is a Rolls-Royce?
Well, you're looking at Alan, Decore, and James Rodriguez. I mean, James Rodriguez is a Golden Boot winner at the World Cup. How many teams have signed a Golden Boot winner from a World Cup?
It's true. It's true. Decore, I think, is going to be the one that ends up being the signing of the season for them.
How many times have we said Decore
mm-hmm.
for Arsenal?
Mm-hmm.
Alan, I think, because of Carlo Ancelotti knows him, he's going to be a top player as well. He's really, really good. But again, you look at our midfield and you look at their midfield. Their midfield's better than ours. So we need to up that quality. It's an upgrade.
I agree. And also, Everton are the kind of team that could creep in to challenge us for that top four space, right? Because you've got the Cities and the Liverpools and potentially the Chelsea. I think Man United are going to struggle. I think Tottenham are going to struggle. I don't know if Wolves are going to be as good as they were last season. You know, it takes a lot to kind of repeat what they did. Sheffield United, I could see struggling. But Everton is going to be that team, and there's going to be a couple of those teams that we have to compete against in order to kind of really fight for that top four spot. And you're right. Right now, their midfield is a lot better than ours, and it seems like now that's the weakest link for us, is getting that midfield shored up. Do you see David Luiz as the guy who will start against Liverpool, Casey, alongside Gabriel? Do you... Do you feel like he'll come in and start next week?
I do. I think he will start. I think David Lewis will be centre. I think we'll play five. We'll play five at the back. And Louise will be the centre one. Rob Holding will probably be the one on the right if Saliba don't play. And Gabriel will be the one on the left. Because obviously, depending on Tierney, I'm not sure what's going to happen. But I think Gabriel will be there. And if Tierney's fit, he'll play wing back.
I just have to figure out a way to get some air in here. The old hair's going crazy again, Casey. You see?
I love it.
Going a little bit crazy. Let's do it this way. Let's do it that way. We'll do that way. I mean, it's going nuts. I think this is the most important thing of this Saturday. But let's wrap this up in a little bit here, if we may. And we are going to have a very special guest on the show next week to talk about the Liverpool game. It is none other than Liverpool legend Stevie Nicol. He's a great friend of the show, and we always like to remind Stevie about 89 100%, 100%. Every single time he comes on the show. But before we get to that next week, anything that surprised you today, Kevin? Anything that really worried you the most today? What's your biggest takeaway from this match?
Biggest takeaway for me is the midfield. Listen, on the ball, we know Ceballos is a good player. Mm-hmm. But energy-wise, I thought West Ham had more energy than us in the centre of the pitch. And you could see they were running through us again, which I don't like to see. And, you know, they were causing us a lot of problems. And I don't like to see that. I like to see us solid in the middle of the pitch. And we're the one who's breaking up the attacks and then counter-attacking them. But we were the one who was being counter-attacked. So that, for me, is alarming. Mm-hmm. Really alarming.
You also keep bringing up Ceballos, but you haven't really mentioned Xhaka. Why?
Because I know what Xhaka is. I know what Xhaka brings to the table. And yeah, he has improved. He's got a sweet left foot and he's a continuity player. He's a good passer, get it back, pass it, got a good switch from left to right. That's what you get from Xhaka. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not going to break into the box and get you, you know, 10 goals a season. He's not going to do that. But we need an upgrade because we need players not only who can do what he does, but they need to do more. That's what the top boys do. Mm-hmm. They do more. And that's what we need to do.
Do you feel like we lost our shape too much today?
I think out of desperation, people start to lose their shape. And the opposition frustrated us. So it was out of frustration a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Ceballos, you know, wanted to get on the ball. That's what he's good at. He wants to get on the ball. He wants to probe. Xhaka wants to get on the ball. But, you know, until, when was it, 80-odd minutes, something mm-hmm. like that, that's the only times Ceballos went forward and took a chance.
Yeah.
Saka picks the ball up and flicks the ball through, and Ceballos is in their box. When did that happen in the first half? It didn't.
Right.
So at least he's taking a chance. We need players who take more chances, darling.
Yeah, definitely. And El Batch, I just wanted to get back to you because I think we talked about Leno before you jumped in, and we didn't think Leno had a good game. If you guys can let us know what you think as well at Highbury Squad on Twitter. It felt like he was not confident, not playing with confidence. A couple of bad choices when he came out for the ball from set pieces as well. And then that fall was really worrying because, God forbid, if something had happened to him, and his shoulder went there, that would have been exceptionally worrying.
We'll buy Emmy back. Can you imagine?
He's the one we should have loaned. Okay, so real quick, we'll do, we've got some transfer rumours happening, of course. Torreira to Italy, supposedly, you know, whether that's going to be a loan deal or a sell, Super Kev. We've still got Chambers on the books. We still have Mustafi. Obviously, Kolasinac played today, but he's not one that we think is going to be there for the future. Are we waiting to sell some of these players before we bring in the others? Seems like the release clause for Partey is, you know, it's close to 50 million euros, I think. So that's tough. That's a tough ask. So I don't know kind of if anyone's going to pick up any of these players, because again, an opportunity for Kolasinac to be in the shop window, but I'm sorry, he's just not good enough. And how much is he going to fetch? So how do you see the next week or so, the next 10 days wrapping up with the rumors, who needs to leave?
Fire sale. Sell. We're selling now. We're selling.
Bargain basement?
Well, I don't know about bargain basement, but we've got to get as much coin in as we can. But because we need to fund these players. We need to fund the upgrades. Listen, Torreira, I like Torreira as a player, but it just hasn't quite worked out from Arsenal. Look, no problem. We can move you on. You want to go to Italy? No problem. Mm-hmm. You know, there's some big teams, or apparently there's even talk of Atletico Madrid in Spain.
Yes.
Wanting Torreira. Now, if we could work a little bit of magic with that one for Partey, a bit of swap and, a few tracksuits and stuff, and a little bit of money, then we could make it work, which would serve a purpose, obviously. But OR is going to take money as well. And So the Kolasinacs and all these guys, we're going to have to get them out. Chambers, if he's obviously, I think he's injured, but if Fulham still want him, listen, we're open for business, so... We're open for business.
It seems also to be tough to shift Guendouzi. I mean, I've said to you before, I feel like we've devalued him by, announcing that he's problematic, and obviously he hasn't helped himself either. But it just seems like we've got some tough players that we need to sell, and they're not the easiest to sell. And Guendouzi is the one that we need for bait, right?
Well, obviously not. Because nobody wants a problem child. Nobody wants a... I mean, you've got the option of getting someone who's good, can do what he does, play the game and not give you any problems, or you got someone who's going to be screaming, kicking. What are you going to go for, Soph? You're going to go for the one who does it nice and smooth. You ain't going to go for this screaming, kicking kid, with petulance. Nobody's going to do that. And especially now where teams will be looking at the coin that they spend. They're looking at the money that they're going to spend. And they want to spend it in the best way possible because, obviously, of the situation, they've got to get more bang for their buck. Mm-hmm. Buying a Guendouzi who could flip at the flip of a switch is not going to happen. So nobody's taking the chance. So what we might have to do is loan him out.
Yeah.
With an option. So that might be the only thing.
Yeah, and also Colorado Guna brings up one more before we go, is Sokratis. I mean, rumour had it he was going to Napoli, then Roma, and, I think now, Holding is definitely kind of ahead of him with Arteta as a backup player, or I don't know. I just worry about a lot of these players that we can't sell. And if we're going to be left with this once the window closes, I think we're going to struggle at points in the season, and it's not going to be as easy as we think. And the euphoria after the Fulham game, I think this is a measured, a point where a lot of fans need to be a bit more measured. But I also think this game, Casey, gives Arteta ammunition to go back to the owners and say, look, we need to get these players across the line. I mean, Manchester United today was so poor against Crystal Palace. And you can see, like, Manchester United, Arsenal, we're both like a couple of players away from having those kind of consistent moments in the season. And unless we do that, we're going to find ourselves struggling. Before, look who showed up, our problem child.
You're going, girl. You go. Yo, see you later.
Oh, wait, let's see. Has she left? Am I allowed to play this? She said, check your WhatsApp. I'm going to take a risk, KC, and play it. What do you think?
Oh, no. Go on.
Hey, Soph. Hey, Kev. Sorry I can't be on, but I've been at my parents' for Jewish New Year. So we had dinner and then we watched football. And what a good start for the Jewish New Year. Even though I have to say we were a tad lucky, we were a tad lethargic, and we were a tad bad, actually. But it's 3 points. And as I tweeted straight after, when you play shite and win. That's the stuff of champions. Anyway, hope you have a great pod. And all I'd like to say is 2 out of 2. Bring on Leicester is our next match.
Yeah, in the cup.
And my
yeah.
prediction in the for cup. Leicester in the Carabao Cup. No idea. Haven't even thought about it yet. I'll post it on the Highbury squad. My 5-1 prediction was a little bit too optimistic, but we won, and I'm very happy. We didn't play well. We didn't have much of a midfield. But you know what? West Ham had a game plan to stop us playing, and to be fair, they did. So
she's wrapping it up now, Casey.
She better.
Guys, and thanks to all the listeners again for all your great tweets. I'll be back on the next pod. Bye.
Well, there you have it, our problem child. And, you know, we want to send her out on loan with Sogradis, yeah. but somehow we still are, and she's listening to herself, listening to me. It's just lovely, isn't it, Casey?
Yeah, listen, we love her. We love Amanda, but she's going on loan.
Yeah, she's going on loan.
We love her. She's going on loan.
And we'll talk about Gareth Bale next time, because I want to get your take on that. But we'll do that next week. Now, listen, Gooners, next week, special show, Liverpool v Arsenal. We play them Monday night, right?
Monday night, yep.
So Friday, we have Stevie Nicol on the show, Liverpool legend. So you're not going to want to miss that. Just keep tuned in to our Twitter at Highbury Squad, and we'll send all the relevant links and times for the show. And Super Kev, thank you so much for leaving O'Shea's early to come.
You're welcome. No, we had to do this one. No, we had to do this one, definitely.
Definitely.
Thanks
again. Thanks for everyone. Thanks to everyone for joining us, and we'll see you next week. Take care, and a win's a win, even if it's ugly.
Boom!